Hello, 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 everybody. And it's another marvelous, marvelous Monday out there. And the title of today's show is Tap Dancing Through Hell, because we're making some fast moves here today, because my guest was supposed to be Tom Campbell, but we mistakenly had Armageddon scheduled for coming in over the weekend and through today and tonight and everything else. And the funny thing is the fact that not only can't they get the weather right, bless their hearts, I'm not blaming the weather guys, but they can't get the weather right for a weekend, but we're all going to die from climate change. So I you'll forgive me if I raise some questions about that. So pinch hitting for me today is my wonderful husband. Once again, Bruce Mo, how you doing, honey?
Wonderful. Whoa. Thanks.
Anytime. Anytime. And so what we're going to be doing today is, rather than hooking up with Tom and finding about more about his platform, I do hope to have him on the show in the next coming weeks. We are going to be covering a plethora of items that are near and dear to our hearts. And I don't know if anybody else got a couple of love letters from the county and the city like we did just last week, but last week we received a letter that informed us that two of our less stellar properties have increased in true and full value. One increased by $15,000 and one increased by $22,000 on our property taxes. And we can certainly avail ourselves by going to three separate meetings to attempt to plea that down, because it's over the $10,000 limit. But I find it interesting that I have to go to those meetings, or Bruce has to go to those meetings and attempt to plea. And basically, from what I understand from other people who have gone and plead, just to be told to pound sand. So, honey, what do you feel about the valuations of those two properties going up? How much work have you done on those two properties lately? I just have to ask.
Oh, I think I did probably $100 to $200. About it. No, it's outrageous that they even think about raising it like that. And it's, what do they want? They want more money. Of course, they gave us that big $500 deduction.
Up to.
We get. Yes, it is. And if we get it, well, had only, let's see, we paid about $28,000 last year in property taxes with our properties. And so it'll help a lot. I mean, I'm sure. Well, I mean, you look at all the people that get it saved by it. I'm sure Doug Burgum will like it. Man, or if you get all your TIFs money and you don't have to pay property taxes, do you get that $500 rebate? I wonder if Burgum does get a $500 rebate.
You know, I don't know, but since you bring up TIFs, I'm going to bring up something here that I found quite frankly outrageous. There is a total of 42 blocks in Minot within the zone that get property tax breaks for up to 5 years. In place of the property tax payments, the building owners simply must make improvements to their buildings.
Shouldn't they be doing that by themselves and on their own? I mean, okay, does Grandma Moses out in Beulah get any rebates or anything else when she paints her house, puts on shingles? No, it goes up. Her price goes up. What the heck is with this? They get to get their stuff done for nothing. Well, for nothing, or actually for nothing for them, but lots of money from us that we have to pay for them to fix their houses. But if, you know, Grandma's going to have to do her own shingles, plus it makes her house more valuable so that she has to pay more.
Well, not only that, she doesn't even have to do anything to make it more valuable. Like
yes,
you said,
yes.
You didn't do anything to those two houses, and one went up 15 and one went up 22.
I know. I mean, this is actually, I'm just kind of being facetious about that stuff, because it is outrageous that what's happening. And obviously, I always sit there and say, besides capital gains tax, property taxes is the most
unfair. Arbitrary.
I was going to say crooked, because, I mean, look what's happening. Some people are making money on this stuff.
Yeah.
And some people, most of us, are getting, like, hammered on this stuff, and we can't get out of it. I mean, they're talking about, oh, geez, the reforms they're talking about. I was at a meeting with our
Tammy Miller.
Oh, what a lovely person. Okay, all right. I should be nice. That was nice. I said wonderful.
You were very polite, honey.
Yes. And all I keep thinking is, what does she talk about? They're talking about reform of property tax, right? And what was her reform? Oh, well, we're going to let the locals do it. They already do it. So what do you mean? What do you mean? What is your reform? That the local people, it's going to go to the them? No, 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 no.
Okay, here's
gotta
the thing.
We got to have something. I want you to say, if you're going to say there's going to be reform, I want at least one lie.
But you can't pass the buck that way, see, because that's what they're good at. See, the locals blame the state. The state blames the locals. Those of us that are here in the middle paying the bills are sitting here going, oh, okay, I understand. And it nothing changes. And that's exactly what they want to continue, nothing to change.
Of course not. But, I mean, all right, I'm not the most brilliant person in the world.
No.
But, I mean, something we all learned over the years. But I'm going to sit there and say, all right, I can figure this out, North Dakotans. And people from every other state, get your heads out of your butts. Come on. You got to get in on this fight. This is not a winning answer, is to sit there and say, oh, well, we got to do this for the kids or follow that one because it's mostly in the schools. There's so many things that the same old cliches work time after time. What the heck? We got to sit there and say, hey, I heard that back in 1843. I mean, really, are we ever going to get it into our heads out of our butt and realize that, yes, property taxes have to change? I mean, and
income tax is not the answer. Getting rid of or reforming the income tax is not the answer.
Oh, no,
you're still
going
to lose your house.
That's right. And actually, I was at the meeting, a Vietnam vet goes, hey, I never have any problem with income tax.
Right.
He says the property tax is what's going to kill you. And you know what? They're killing you now. But look at the rates they have increased in the last 10 years. I mean, we're talking, it's like every year it goes up thousands of dollars. I mean, that we're paying in property taxes. And what happens when we can't afford it?
But we've got the guy that Jared Haggett, who is the head, the chair of the taxation committee, has been on radio and stuff. He was telling everybody that the property tax measure that will remove property tax is nothing more than a Trojan horse. Because where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the money? Well, March 19th, 2024, state revenue running well above forecasts. Strong oil and gas revenue and interest income are filling the coffers of North Dakota's general fund. North Dakota's general fund was about $236 million above target as of February's end. That's about 13.5% more than the state predicted for the 23-25 budget cycle. The general fund accounts for more than a third of North Dakota's overall budget. Most of the money in the general fund comes from energy, income, and sales, use, and motor vehicle taxes. So something tells me we have money. And when Burgum was running for president, remember how he was touting, well, I had to open up a whole nother funding area because we had billions of dollars and I had to put. So if we've got this much money, why can't we fix this property tax problem? Why can't we allow the state to pay out at the 2023 valuation rates and at least let people have the opportunity to live in rather than rent their homes?
Actually, yeah, I got to agree with that. Now, the thing is I'm going to sit there and play devil's advocate, or I'm going to go along with them that sooner or later that money's going to run out. All right. Now, I'm running for governor, and I'll have a plan that would work. All right. The simple answer is you have a consumption tax. I call it a consumption tax because sales taxes, everybody kind of thinks are bad, but we call it a consumption tax. Always have a good name for something.
Well, right? they're good at that too.
But I tell you what, you sit there and you know, maybe it's going to be a low consumption tax, a little, maybe a couple, what, cents on couple cents maybe extra, so it's not enough to get people to go over to other states to buy products, but it does help in case the oil revenues aren't what need to be and stuff like that. So we always are going to have an answer to how we can make it work.
Well, I want to tell you something because you've got a great idea, because while oil and gas is the big driver for all of these, Money collected through sales tax represented the lion's share of the general fund revenue, according to the February 29th Office of Management and Budget report. Sales tax revenue between July and February was about $849 million, or roughly 14.9% more than expected. Income tax revenue also beat last year's projections. Total collections were about $177 million at the end of February, exceeding the state's forecast by about 10.9%. So why can't we find a way to get rid of the damn property taxes?
Well, if now, as vicious as it sounds, there's people that want our properties. There's people that do not want it. Yeah, BlackRock. Well, we're talking about the World Economic Forum.
You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Exactly. I mean, we're not supposed to have us peons in North Dakota or outstate North Dakota are not supposed to have anything. And it's a great answer for it. You know, you sit there and you make them pay taxes, some or property taxes. But, of course, if they don't have the money to pay for it, what do? They get the opportunity to take their property. And everybody says, oh, that doesn't happen very often.
It does.
But the only thing is it does happen. And also, it forces them to sell. It forces them to sell a farm that they had in their family for hundreds, not hundreds, but 150 years. So it's like going one over the other. Obviously, most people sell before they get evicted. But I tell you, there's a lots of evictions happening in other states. And guess what? That's going to come to North Dakota. Just look at your numbers. Check out. Look at your numbers on
Evictions are rising and defaults are rising. And that's why they're starting to try to rally, because there's a rally in Fargo for renters and stuff, because renters are being evicted. And they're working to stop renters being evicted, but nobody seems to give a flying leap about whether or not you're evicted from your home.
Interesting, isn't it? And, of course, that's one thing that the, lots of our great legislatures, especially these conservative guys, that, as they call themselves, they tell us that, how they're going to win on not getting property taxes voted in is they're going to say, well, that property tax is just for the people that are rich and can afford the houses, so they should be paying more. All right, I don't want to call you stupid if you believe that, but you are stupid if you believe that, because what did me and Kit over our years, most of our money was made in
properties,
and we do not pay the property taxes. Our renters pay the property taxes. So think about that. I mean,
that's not only that, but you and I also bought properties for $50,000. A couple of the properties we bought were literally going to be condemned, and we said, no, the bones are good. The bones are good. We can do this. And we went in. We bought a house for $30,000. Didn't we sell it for like $170-something?
Yeah, well, it was pretty close to that, and it was in 2 years, and it is a matter of working hard, which is acceptable. But it's just like I say, it's outrageous that people are sitting there and thinking, well, I don't have to pay property taxes.
Everybody
pays property taxes, so it's like going, come on, guys, don't fall for this again. And what I mean, just sit there and get ticked off when you hear your congressman say, well, or your legislatures tell you, oh, these are the evil renters or landlords.
Well, I want to get back to that, too. But the first thing I want to do before that is talk about executive properties. And Paul put that ad in.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
Okay, the whole problem is the fact that when a business or something isn't paying property tax, that someone else has to pick up the slack. And I understand that they're lovingly touting this, if you're over 65 or disabled, you don't have to pay property taxes. Honey, give a a little opinion on that one.
You know, I kind of like that. I wonder where I heard that before. Oh, did you ever hear Bruce Moe before? 2020, he's running for governor. What was one of the things I said we should do? At the very least about property taxes, let the people that are 65 and years and older that have lived in the state for 20 years, or these are arbitrary numbers, and own their property, do not have to pay property taxes. This is like going, somebody stole that from me, or maybe somebody else is as brilliant as I am.
Well, I remember we put it in several op-ed pieces, so I would assume somebody somewhere was reading. But the big thing that people don't seem to grasp is the fact that the economy obviously is not doing well. And no one wants to be able to have to make the choice or forced to make the choice between your home, food, or medicine. And I understand that making the 65 years or older and the disabled exempt is fine, but what we're leaving out is single parents, parents with young children. None of those expenses are going down either. And if TIFs are so good for us to be giving out to businesses, doesn't it make sense that if we made all property tax gone, that would give everybody a better economic chance to start a small business, go out and buy a home, and know that their bank loan, what their mortgage wasn't going to suddenly cascade up? Because what happens with all of this is your mortgage rate goes up, and that's what's happening. That's why there's foreclosures, because people's mortgage payments are going up, not due to the fact that the interest rates are going up, but they have their property tax escrowed in.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful where our legislatures don't give a damn about us, but they sure the heck are going to worry about whether Doug Burgum and his all his LLCs and all his buddies that have get all these TIFs, get the TIFs. I mean, the simple word, and this is my political saying as a governor, if one pays, everybody pays. So nobody gets a break. No TIFs. I could live with, well, obviously that's the very lowest because I still hate property taxes. But if, like I say, if I have to pay my damn property taxes, so do you, Dougie.
Well, what people don't seem to grasp, though, is that this rampant spending addiction that we all have, the House, now I'm talking about federal now, just passed the infamous, and I do mean infamous, $1.2 trillion government funding bill, mere hours before the dun-dun-dun government shutdown. Shut the damn thing down. This $1.2 trillion is going to get us to October 1st. Ladies and gentlemen, now here's the best part. Right now, $500 million of that $1.2 trillion has been appropriated for the Defense Security Cooperation Agency. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah, I feel better.
I know. Okay, the Defense Security Corporation Agency, who is getting $500 million, will support the armed forces of Jordan, the country of Jordan, and enhance security along its borders.
The military complex.
And that means that our borders are open and that money's not going to our troops to be around our borders. Let's see. Oh, wait. It also funds LGBTQ plus projects, including the grooming, binding, and tucking initiative that will allow new underpants for kids in the community.
Tucking?
Yes. Special clothing. Remember the clothing that was on sale at Target?
Yeah.
That allowed everybody to nip and tuck?
Oh, Lordy, are we heading in the right direction?
Oh, wait, but wait, there's more. There's also agencies like the United States Agency for International Development, which is basically another arm of the CIA. We are giving money all over the world, but what is happening here?
Well, our borders are really good. I mean, it's kind of weird because they're going to be getting all this money, like Jordan and every place else is going to get all the money. Are they going to start leaving the country when we go total to shit and everybody else is better off than us? I mean, that's going to be interesting. I mean, the inflation things of the $1.2 trillion. Oh, I know. You told me that our wonderful senators, you know, our conservative senators.
Hovind and Cramer.
Conservative people. I always thought myself as a conservative because I only spent what I had. But these clowns have for years, and you guys still vote him in. And I suppose he's going to these idiot. Which idiot's running this time? He's going to get voted in. Guys, did I ever say get your head out of your asses? I mean, seriously, we have to start doing better than this. And inflation is killing us. You know, like you guys probably heard it, $1 trillion every 100 days. That's how much is being printed. And you wonder why your dollar is going to hell.
Well, and people are complaining about $25 and $30 McDonald's meals. Well, get ready, because if this keeps going on, you're going to see $300 candy bars.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, you look at the Weimar Republic, you know, from Germany. They sit there and they had to basically have a wheelbarrow
to buy bread.
And it wasn't to take the bread back. It was to take the money to the stores. It was outrageous. And that's going to happen here pretty darn soon. Well, it's already happening.
It already is. It's already happening.
We're in that. The inflation is going.
$8 for a box of cereal.
I know. And you know what's so kind of funny about this is it really gets worse every time people think, well, we got the answer. Let's raise the minimum wage. Every time the minimum wage comes up, inflation hits us right back harder. It's like we never get anything right. It seems like we're always, you know, people here sitting there thinking they're arguing and fighting about the wrong thing, always are fighting the wrong thing. It's like we're in a loop.
Well, what we've got is we've got people who say the solutions are this. Well, the solution to inflation is simple. All the government needs to do is, as you say, print more money. Then we have the people who say, well, we need to make sure that everyone has a living wage and or the government guaranteed income.
Yes.
We are running out of people that can pay for this. Remember, the government doesn't generate money. The government pays no one. The people do. And we're running out of the worker bees.
Indeed. Indeed. And the inflation, it's hard to for the small businesses.
They can't survive.
And that is a plan, by the way, people. Big business. The answer is, the real answer is to have lots of small businesses. But no, we have all this inflation and all the wages is going up. These small businesses are getting killed, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to have three or four companies owning everything in the world.
The New Democratic Party of Minnesota is their platform is a 20-hour work week without any loss of pay. So they want you to be paid for a 40-hour work week, but they want you to work 20. They want you to get full benefits and everything else. And if you work any hours over 20 hours, they expect you to get double time pay and everything else. I'm not kidding.
Well, it doesn't matter because everything's going to be so damn high that will be, I mean, you won't be getting, I guarantee you people that want this minimum wage increase, you're not going to be better off. It has never, ever worked. It's another thing that has never worked. I mean, it's we continue to make the same mistakes. Not the mistakes. We still haven't learned from our mistakes.
Well,
and we don't know what they are.
Are they mistakes? Or is this part of the plan? Because Tyson just closed down a bunch of plants, but one of the plants they closed down had 1,200 workers in a town of 8,000 people. You can bet that's going to be felt, all right? They closed that plant. They're opening a brand new plant. They're hiring over 89,000 illegal aliens to staff their new factories, and they're getting subsidized for hiring these illegal aliens by the government. So in other words, the people that just lost their jobs, the people that work are going to be paying to have the illegals come in and work for less money, and we're going to be subsidizing their wages.
Well, obviously it isn't a mistake because we continue to do the same thing over and over again. Obviously the government, it is a plan. So there is no mistake here except for we don't learn. That is that a mistake or is that just plain ignorance? What is it?
Well, what do you do? I'll be the first one to say what because people will say vote. And I'm sorry, but Cook County in Chicago, just in a primary bid between two Democrats. This will show you how dirty things are. So, there was a person that was over 4,000 or something votes ahead, but it wasn't the progressive enough Democrat for everybody. It wasn't the one that had the backing of the Democrat Party. All right. Overnight, on the 19th of March, when the 18th was the end of voting, allowing votes to come in, the guy that did the voting tabulating mysteriously found over 10,000 ballots, about 10,695 mail-in ballots that he'd just missed. Just in an effort to do things quickly. He just didn't do them correctly enough. And somehow 10,695 mail-in ballots magically appeared. So you got to forgive me if when people say, we don't need term limits, we don't need to fix our government, we just need to vote people out. Really? How?
How do you vote people out? Well, yes, obviously we have the answers for the elections. We're just not going to do it. And people, I mean, well, I have one of the things I said right here is we're not learning from our mistakes. We still make the same things. And the worst thing we do is we forget things right away. And that's what we already forgot about it. And I said it a couple other times on this show or someplace, is that what the heck? My mind went blank again, Kip. Yeah, I love that when my mind. I know.
Well, the vote, it's not just the mail-in ballots, the machines and everything else to be fixed, because the machines have been coming out more and more often. You can hit them with a ballpoint pen and the votes change. It's nuts. It's beyond nuts. So when people say, well, the way to solve this is for more people to come out and vote, I don't condone it, but I understand why so many people stay away and don't bother to vote anymore. Because, serious to God, if you look at stuff like what's going on in Cook County and Chicago, would you bother? Because you know it means jack.
It is. It is getting frustrating to see that and the feelings of it, too. And, well, then again, you got a person like me that always says, if you don't know what the heck you're doing, don't vote. And that's kind of like, it's a catch-22, because every liberal and rhino is going to be voting because it's their constitutional right, which it is their constitutional right. But still, we have to get a more wiser voting.
We need a more knowledgeable voting bloc. We need people who are more dedicated to vote. But also, in my opinion, we need to start putting some candidates out there who are worth their sand. Do you want to run? No. No. Nobody in their right mind, in my opinion, would want to run for office. It is not for the meek. But doggone it, people, we got to start putting some candidates forth that are worth something.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with that. You have to, preface that with honest people. I mean, talk about a possibility of making a fortune is going into the North Dakota legislature and help the crony capitalists make a fortune. Yes, and how about the United States Congress and stuff? That is sit there and say, whoa, you're an honest person and you don't want the money, then you do not want to run.
Okay, so here's the problem. Here we go. In fact, before I get into this, because this is going to swing us in another direction, I want to make sure that I do this for heaven's cakes, because I want to make sure that people know that there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods, and that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes comes in. You'll find the best cupcakes and cakes for any special occasion or just a treat. You can walk in to find out more, but I'm warning you, not only won't you want to leave, you won't leave empty-handed. Oh for Heaven's Cakes is located on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesdays through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays from 9 to noon. Give them a call at 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or you can email them at oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com, and you too can be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins at Oh for Heaven's Cakes. All right.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Are muffins ugly and cupcakes so cute? I mean, that's ad kind of makes it, I feel bad for the muffins.
Okay.
All right,
I will go out and buy you some muffins and some cupcakes, and you can do your own research. How's that sound, honey?
All right. I felt sorry for the muffins.
You always have been one for the downtrodden. All right. So here's the thing that I don't understand. Jason Doctor is in a world of hurt. He's up against a conflict of interest crime because he bought a bunch of buildings, basically didn't do much to them, and then rented them at an overly inflated price to Attorney General Stengem. So there's a problem here. But guess what they're doing? They're circling the wagons. A legislative leader, Mike LaFour, Republican Dickinson, has defended a colleague charged with a conflict of interest crime, arguing that the regulatory body that referred the lawmaker for prosecution is punishing legislators for breaking rules that are too confusing to understand. You can't have sitting legislators looking over their shoulder every time we vote on something. The legislature is subject to oversight from the North Dakota Ethics Commission, which, by the way, is a joke, established in 2018 through an amendment to the state constitution on matters of transparency, corruption, lobbying, and elections. All right, so first I want to say this. If you are ethically challenged, don't run for office.
That's the only people that get elected nowadays.
Well, and if they weren't elected when they were ethically challenged, they don't last very long before they are. But I have to say, what type of mental midget needs to have ethical rules really that in-depth spelled out to them? And if they're that confusing, dude, you should not be in the legislature.
Well, one, why the hell are they writing legislation that could be so confusing that the legislature who wrote the legislation can't understand? Is there a problem with this stuff? I mean, all I laughed about is, well, how the heck did he not understand what he voted for? You know, it's like, well, I know it might have been before him, but it's still outrageous.
I still got to say,
yes.
How inept and obtuse must one be to not understand that adhering to what a lobbyist is providing you with, or sliding in and buying a building for a little bit and then inflating the rent so that you can rent it to somebody who's in government is probably not, while it may be legal in some world, isn't the most ethical thing on the planet that one should be doing.
Well, of all the things I hear and about our legislatures in our crony capitalist system here, that isn't even the worst.
Okay.
You know, but it is ugly. It is,
well,
it is really disappointing.
Under state law, the Ethics Commission is required to refer complaints involving potential criminal activity to law enforcement prosecution. LaFour questioned why doctors should be charged for what the House Majority Leader sees as a normal part of the lawmaking process. Maybe that's part of the problem, but I continue. To forward a criminal prosecution against a sitting legislator for voting on a budget is ridiculous. He also criticized the commission's conflict of interest rules as inconsistent and poorly drafted, illustrating a broader clash between lawmakers and the commission. In other words, I don't like the law. The law doesn't allow me to be crooked. And some of my friends got caught, and I could be caught next, and I don't want to. This is asinine, and it's insulting.
Yes, it is. But that's what we have. And, well, that's where we're elected. And, obviously, over the years, our elections have always been that way and are getting worse. I mean, and does it make any difference on who we elect, Democrat or Republicans, as far as ethical, and do any of them ever change anything? Do you remember?
All they do is cover each other's butts, which is exactly what's happening here.
I'm changing the subject
okay,
again, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I am. One thing I want to mention about now, we have so many Republicans in the Senate. Obviously, all our senators, all the top four are Republicans and not a chance for a Democrat to win for a number of couple of elections.
Wait. Republicans in name only.
Yes, of course. But and you get sit there and you think about it. Are we any and they criticize the Democrats. Are we any better off now than we were when we had Heidi and Dorgan and
Are we
Conrad
any worse off?
We're the same. We're doing the same thing. We're still paying more than we should in different areas, and things are not any better. It's interesting why the heck everybody's going to be negative on the Democrats, even though their platform sucks. But right now, I mean, the Republicans.
We have one party.
Yes, we do. But we always did in North.
Yeah.
There's always been a uniparty, especially in North Dakota, because they just say the same thing. And it doesn't matter who we elect right now. I mean, you look at the people that are running nowadays. Would you think that anything would change between the Democrat and Armstrong or Miller?
No.
No. I mean, nothing would change.
Well, they dress it up nicer. I will admit that. They dress it up nicer. They do like, okay, North Dakota had CRT.
Yes.
They got hammered for that. So the solution to that by the Republicans was, now we have social-emotional learning, which is SEL.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, but we've changed it.
Yeah, we just talked about education the other day. But yes, that is.
But what I'm referring to is nothing changes but the initials.
Yes, and nothing changes but the names. I mean, really. Okay, and whether it's an R or a D, North Dakotans, we don't seem to understand that there is the uniparty and it's huge in North Dakota. But then again, how is this being achieved by them? Look at and listen to our radio pundits. They sit there and they have...
Defend them.
Yes, they always defend them no matter what they do. I mean, just today... You were listening to one of the morons talking about how, what's his name?
Hovind and Kramer.
And Kramer.
Guns to their head.
Yes, they had to do it. It's like going, are you kidding me? I mean.
They had no choice.
Yes. And then again, if it was a Democrat that did something stupid, you know, Heidkamp down there would say, well, we got to protect him. He did all right.
Well,
it's outrageous.
Well, what the problem is, well, he said the Democrats forced them to make that vote. Really?
Yes.
Is that what they did? Did they hold their heads underwater? I mean,
waterboarding.
What I'm trying to say is, just like Russia is the boogeyman, right? But China's getting a slide, right? But Russia's the boogeyman. See, they've invented the boogeyman. And the Democrat Party points to the Republicans. The Republicans point to the Democrats. And here we sit in the middle, just like we're doing at the state level with property taxes, where the state points to the locals point to the state. And here we sit in the middle, and all we keep doing is opening up our wallets and forking out the money, saying, somebody's got to change this. Somebody's got to change this. And nothing ever changes.
Nope. It has been how many years? I mean, forever right now.
Clear back to when we were living in sod houses with the horses standing on the roof.
Yeah, the horses must have been doing the voting because they did a good job.
Now they're holding office.
I think that was
the wrong part of the horse is holding office.
Oh, this is getting ugly.
I'm sorry, I mean, but.
What can we do about it is the question. How do you know a person's honest?
Well, how can you reassure they stay honest?
That's right. I mean,
term limits helps because you maybe won't be in long enough. But then we've got the cushy retirement.
Yes, they got it.
So I mean,
one thing I mean, probably pay very little. Make it a situation where you don't get paid much.
They already aren't making much, but they're still coming out millionaires.
Yeah, well, that's another thing is, yes, you're right about that. How do we stop the corruption? How do we stop the crony capitalism? You guys that know what, obviously, most of you know what crony capitalism is. What do you think, Kitty? Most of them?
They hear the word capitalism and people don't understand what the crony part of it that goes in.
Yeah,
it's fascism, basically, is crony capitalism,
yes,
where the government grants certain businesses or slash individuals who are in business the ability to survive and thrive and puts everybody else under
the
boot.
Basically, the government and select people work together.
Correct.
And that's what's happening, and it's how do you stop that? You tell me. I mean, dang, you'd have to sit there and, like I say, getting term limits would help.
If we remove the cushy packaging.
Yes. And having,
justice certain, would help.
Yeah.
Justice would help.
I know.
Just like this guy that's up on the ethics charges, doctor. Justice would help. But everybody's rallying the wagons around him because they're all guilty, too.
We're in trouble.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, see, that's the problem. And it happens at the federal level as well. You catch them, and everybody does nothing. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, you're forgiven. Try that the next time somebody pulls you over. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was doing 95. Well, can we just forget it? Do you think that's gonna make it? If you walk out of a store with something in your pocket, I'm sorry, I didn't realize the diamond ring was in my pocket. Can we just? But justice is the problem.
Yes, it is. There's two different types of justice here. There's more. You know, justice for one is not justice for everybody. I mean, there's different rules for everybody, and that's just, I mean, do we have to accept it?
Apparently we do, because everybody in our legislature now is pissed off at the Ethics Commission because they write confusing laws. Then don't be in politics. Mm-hmm. But okay, for example, cops arrested the owner of a $1 million home for changing the locks on a squatter. Her mom died. She had the home up for sale. These people forced their way in, although they said they walked in and the door was open. And they've been staying there. And she cannot get them to leave. They refuse to leave. In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days. By the time someone does an investigation, their work and their job, it'll be over 30 days, and the man will still be in this lady's home. She walked in with video people behind her saying, "Who are you, sir? Get out of my house." And he goes, I don't have to go. And she goes, "Yeah, you do." She goes, "How long have you been here?" He says, 2 days. She goes, "Out." Another guy came in and says, didn't come in illegally. The door was open. And that's apparently enough. And so what happened is they left. She waited till they left. She went in and the police warned her, don't change the locks. It's against the law to change the locks or turn off utilities or remove the belongings of anyone claiming to be a tenant. These people can't produce a lease. They can't produce anything. The neighbors have even said they don't belong there. Anyway, she went in and changed the locks anyway. She was escorted out in handcuffs.
Justice for all. It's ugly what's happening here.
The police refused to kick them out. And the guy literally broke down the door. And now what he's done is he started using hammers and nails and changing things. And so now he's saying that she hired him to do work. And he's not leaving till he gets paid for the work he's done that she never requested.
Interesting.
We ought to try that somebody. Is there a house out there that you kind of like that is empty currently that you'd like to stroll into and maybe hammer a couple of nails and take over, honey?
Yeah, actually, we'll just wait for Burgum to go go overseas someplace and we'll just take over
the governor's
mansion.
The governor's mansion?
Well, why not?
We're supposed to own it anyway, aren't we?
That's right.
All right, let's do our last quick break here for Redemption Shield, where you can go to gfbestsource.com. At the bottom of the homepage and click on the shield to order today to get 10% off. You'll be glad you did.
Have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemption Shield.
It actually works, folks. I have a grounding pad next to my computer, and I am very, very happy when I'm working next to my computer. I just lay my bare arm across that, and I can actually feel it working. Okay, 15 minutes left, and we were talking a little earlier, besides justice and everything else, because we're tap dancing through hell today. And the Justice Department has just launched a National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Does everybody remember red flag laws? You remember red flag laws, right?
Sure.
What's a red flag law? Do you remember?
Nope. I remember them.
Okay. That's where basically law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service organizations, social justice providers, your own family or whatever, can basically say, you might harm yourself or others. And they can come in and remove the guns because you're a threat to yourself or others, right? And we've been fairly successful in anti-red flag legislation, correct?
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't remember
that. That's all right.
I'm getting old, Kitty.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm your wife. It's going to be all fine. But here's the thing. These are red flag laws.
Yes.
But what they're doing is they're now, remember we mentioned repurposing? These are called ERPOs. Extreme risk protection orders, because doesn't that sound so much nicer than red flag laws? And this is a launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center that will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others, said Attorney General Merrick B. Garland. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. So when we say there's one party, because this is a bipartisan Safer Communities Act, so that means people from both parties had to vote for this trash, all right? And akin, it's using the one word that will take down our republic, safer.
Yes. I mean, that's what they always are going to be working on. And you know, if there was no guns, wouldn't it be a wonderful world? I mean, it's
just
like
just ask World War II Germans and Jews and just ask them.
Yes, I know. It's not going to work. Obviously, it is going to work. There will be a lot less, you know, people dead from from gun violence, but there will be other ways of doing it. And guess what? It's a simple thing. If we do not have weapons, the only people that have weapons are, one, the government, two, bad people.
Well, the big thing with this is, if you watched the show last week, which I know you did, we had a gentleman on who was a casualty of the domestic violence laws. And lost his guns. And the ERPO laws are modeled off domestic violence protection orders. They create a civil process allowing law enforcement family members, medical professionals, and others to petition a court to temporarily prohibit someone at risk of harming themselves or others. And we discussed in that show last Monday how difficult it is to combat this in civil court because you have no rights because you're not in criminal court.
That's what's we're going to happen, and this is one of our, number two.
Second Amendment. Second Amendment.
Yep, number two.
And Derek was the poster child for this thing because he's had his extended twice, because it's civil. It's civil.
It's interesting. What's
and we just and we changed the initials and it's okay. Oh, it's not a red flag law. No. It's an extreme risk protection order.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. That's what they really do with us all the time. You have a nice title for it, and we fall for it. I mean, a nice title has destroyed this country.
And you can say it's endorsed by both parties. And the uniformed people out there will go, oh, well, if it's endorsed by both parties, then it has to be good legislation. Because isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
It is. And actually, it works very well. Because actually, you know, both parties, one person votes from the other party. One Republican voted for it. It's both parties voted for it. So that's how easy it is to say that, too, which is kind of crooked considering lots of these people are slimes.
Well, the $1 trillion bill was passed by both parties.
Yes, it was. Oh, thank you, Mr. Hoven.
Mr. Kramer.
I think you guys are doing a great job.
But it's the same thing that's happening at the local. I know, but it's the same thing that's happening at the local. See, everyone thinks it's just the feds that are messed up.
Right. Yes, definitely.
It's not.
No. I tell you what. I mean, do I want to sit there and do I want to get into how corrupt I think some of our things are? Would you have to go into some of the? No, my wife says no. Kitty says don't go there.
Not yet.
No. But it is ugly.
But it is why they're struggling so badly with the ethics thing, why they're pushing back so hard against the ethics, because they realize that Jason Doctor's case is not unusual.
No, it happened before.
And it will happen. It's happening currently. They just haven't been caught yet.
Right.
That's it.
Yes. Yep.
But there's no other reason why there shouldn't be more outrage from the people that are supposed to be doing the legislation than if they have something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got about 10 minutes left, and what do you want to bring to the table for 10 minutes?
Well, like you say,
come on.
You want something that's wise and smart, don't you?
I do.
Yes, and I only had about an hour to prepare for this stuff, so it's
I'm sorry. Don't blame the messenger when I said, okay, what can I say?
But I tell you what, I am going to be a candidate for the governor of North Dakota, and I'll talk a little bit about what I really think of what could really happen, why our governors over the years have been the same people. I mean, you look at it, nothing has changed when Burgum came here, and it would have been the same situation if Heidi Heitkamp would have won or all these people. I've been in North Dakota only about 40 some years, and there'd been the same people, said the same things, and I tell you.
They're writing laws to suit them. Actually, Derek just came on and said it shows how they're expanding ways to convict you in a civil action so they can bypass your constitutional rights. Everybody has rights that's a politician, but if you're the person paying the bill, SOL.
Yep. I mean, and what in North Dakota? I'm supposed to be running for governor. What is one of the most problematic thing you think there is right now?
Crony capitalism and corruption.
Crony capitalism and corruption.
We are, for such a wonderfully nice state, boy, is this place bad.
Well, you told me we can't go into this situation. So
we only have a few more minutes. Yes, that's why. Yes. That's the only reason I told you no. We'll come back and do another show on specifically crony capitalism. How's that sound?
I tell you what. One thing I always sit there and it kind of bugs me about North Dakota, too.
Okay.
I mean, okay, the governor gets paid $12,000 a month, $144,000.
Sure, I'll believe you.
Yep, someplace in there. I got to sit there and say, why the hell are we paying the governor that much? I would sit there and think, shouldn't be paid very little. If I was going to be the governor, I'd sit there and say, hey, why isn't he paid the average salary of the average North Dakotan? And that's...
The person that's actually supporting, paying his salary, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And I mean, I wouldn't mind having $144,000. I'll tell you what I'd do with it. Two things. One, I love NDSU wrestling, so I'd give some money to them. And two, I would give people I'll pay people that cannot afford the property taxes.
Well, we need to get rid of those, period, and then we don't have to worry about that. But, and then the money could go to someplace else.
Yep, but that's right now I'll do that. Wouldn't that be one of some of your top priorities?
I just know one thing. See, the answer they come back with this is the same reason why we pay in some of the smallest towns apparently on the planet. We have six-figure making school administration.
Yeah, the school administration. Oh well, obviously we did a podcast you did a legislature promo and I did a governor promo, and that's what we talked about.
Well, because the superintendents are making six figures.
I mean, not six figures. Good into six.
Well,
figures.
Into six figures.
We're talking
200 and some thousand.
I think the average assistant superintendent makes $224,000. So the superintendent in some schools must make a fortune.
Okay. So there's a reason I said this, because it comes back to your governor's thing, all right? It's the same reason why the city councils, the county commissions and stuff, the school boards are always talking about the fact that we need to give ourselves a raise.
No,
they are. They're always talking about it. They're always saying we need to give ourselves a raise, because you can't get good qualified people if you aren't paying them. And look at this. Look at that county over there, or that city, or that state over there. They pay their people $3,000 more. So we need to, do you understand how this works? It's the same way you get your superintendents. It's the same way you get your college presidents. It's the same way you get your politicians and stuff. Okay, with that, when they're in there, that all of a sudden decide they need more money, because that's the only way you get good qualified people. You know, that's exactly what they say, and you know I'm right.
100% right. I mean, obviously, okay, you want to be a superintendent, you better want to be a superintendent for the right reasons, and the big money should not be the right reasons. I mean, that's what's happening right now. We have to know who we are voting for, and like right now, education is a prime example of where money is being wasted on people that don't deserve what they're getting. I mean, okay, $250,000 for being a superintendent? No,
that's well, outrageous. Especially in some of these tiny towns.
And why are they called? Of course, they have to be doctors. And they have to have these qualifications. And I tell you, that's one thing I wrote down here about people you do not want. You do not want the greedy people. All right? And another thing is, who do you not elect as a superintendent, school board member? Never, ever elect a college professor. How is that for a terrible...
All right. I have no problem with that, having been one, because here's the thing.
College professor. I mean,
I understand.
A doctorate degree.
No, I get it. But what I'm trying to say is we're talking about people that have gone to school for their entire life, have their contracts drawn out for them. They've never had to negotiate, or they do very little negotiation, because they walk in with something already written. They have very high expectations as to what they will do, and they will only do what's in the form of their contract. If I could have a quarter for every time when I was teaching school, I had somebody say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. It's not in the contract. And I said, well, I know it's not in the contract, but I don't care. Well, you have to care, because if you do it and it's not in the contract, then they can come to me and ask me to do it, and I don't want to do it if it's not in the contract, because I'm not getting paid for that. I am not kidding you.
That does not surprise me.
Now, does that sound like someone who loves to teach to you?
That is not surprising to me, kid, because no. That is definitely it. Well, I guess, yeah.
I'm just saying, these are the same people that are currently running for office. And if you want to be on the school board, why are you looking to see what it's going to pay you? You should be wanting to be on the school board, because that is the job that calls to you.
Exactly. I mean, that is one of our major problems, is because everything's for the money
power.
And the power. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And there's an ugly one, too. No matter what anybody wants to say, there's some extra money in lots of places in the that people that make the decisions. I think it's the school boards.
Yep.
People can make extra money some other ways.
There's another entire community out there that makes a living off of the position and the power and the way that people are deferential to them. Well, honey, thank you for tap dancing through hell with me, because we had a show totally planned and it went south. But I'm hoping that we will maybe have Mr. Tom Campbell on here in the next few weeks. We have to see if we can match up our schedules. I book quite a few weeks out, so it'll be at least a few weeks. But I will let you know, and hopefully we can get on and find out what his platform is. But until then, honey, thank you so much.
You betcha.
And as always, he fills into the breach. It's another marvelous Monday on Common Sense Uncensored. Everybody, keep tap dancing. Well, it's the only way we're going to get out of hell. Everybody, take care. God bless.